Hey, are you ready to move your life? I mean, really move it? It's time to turn up the dial on your energy, your health, your sport performance, your happiness, and your relationships. If you want to live with more freedom, more adventure, more passion, more fun, and more success, if you're ready to get your brain in the game and achieve the most out of every area of your life, then it's time to move to live and live to move with your host, Jill Summers.
Hello, you made it, you're here, you're in the right place if you are ready to dial up your life. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. This podcast is designed to guide, coach, support, and challenge you to live your life out loud, way out loud. This is post-Kona episode of Rudy's Road to Kona series. We have been following Rudy on her preparation phase, moving up to Kona World Championship. And race was 2 weeks ago today.
Yeah.
We're doing this interview. She has been actually it was two weeks ago specifically today.
Yep.
So she has been home back in on the mainland for about a week. And she has now the full opportunity to be able to reflect, and I'm sure some reflections will even switch and change, as those can be dynamic.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting, you know, down the road if anything alters or becomes more clear. But today is really all about hearing about your experience. I know our listeners are like, when is it coming out? When is it coming out? So it's, listeners, thanks. It's really great to hear your excitement. It was purposely decided to, you know, let Rudy have her week post-race while she was still in Hawaii and enjoying her time there, and then she got home and you know, settling back into a different time zone, and it's chilly here.
Yeah.
You know, you left here and it was beautiful. Gosh, we had the most beautiful fall in Wisconsin this year, and now it's definitely truer fall weather, and I bet that transition from being nice before you left, and then of course being tropical, and now you're coming home to this, which again, it's not terrible, but it's a pretty big juxtaposition. How are you handling that?
Right. It is a little bit of a challenge. It's absolutely beautiful right now. I mean, I love the big clouds that we get to see and the colors. We still have colors on the trees. I was cracking up with Linda yesterday as we were driving down the street. Some streets, you go down and there's no leaves left, and so you're like, oh, that's winter, and then you get to go down another street and there are colors, and there's fall. But yeah, it's been an adjustment. I miss wearing shorts and t-shirts every day. You never had to think. I mean, even if it rained, you would be warm enough.
So nice.
Yeah.
So super fun, because I posted out to your listening audience, what questions do you have? What do you want me to ask her today during the interview? And we got some really great questions, which I'm excited to go over. If you don't mind, we'll just jump in with those. And if you take us off on a tangent because there was something somewhat related and all of a sudden it goes down a rabbit hole, let's go there.
Awesome.
Deal?
That's a great deal. Okay. I love it.
Okay. One of the questions, and you and I spoke just prior to the interview, you said you don't like this question.
thanks for deciding to ask it.
you're welcome. We're just going to open with it and get it out of the way. Because you said a lot of people have asked you. So
yeah, it's true.
Clearly, inquiring minds want to know. What was one of your... Did it meet your expectations?
Right. Was
it
everything
was it everything you hoped for?
Right. Yes. And that's a hard question for me, because I was like, well, what did I hope for? And so, and maybe I've had trouble with it too, because that question takes a long time to answer, right? Because then I have to think about, what did I hope for? And then I have to name what my hopes were. And then I have to say, okay, so did it meet those expectations? So that's a great question. So if I think about my hopes, One hope or something that I was excited about was the gathering of so many people that I care about and that care about me. And bringing those people together, that exceeded any expectations I could have had. The week before the race, I was a little bit anxious about, okay, everyone's going to start arriving. What is the expectation of me in this, and how do I manage my energy? And so I came up with a couple of ideas, and so Linda and I talked about it and said, that sounds great. Why don't we just say what we're doing on Wednesday and Friday and invite everyone who wants to participate with us.
How many total people?
There were over 20.
Wow.
So we said, okay, we found a sushi restaurant that was kind of off the beaten path and not, we learned, because we ended up going there 3 times, that it was more of a local place. And we just really liked it, and it was less expensive than another sushi place we went to, and it tastes better. So that was all cool. So we said, well, why don't we go back there? I need to eat something that I'm gonna feel, that feels good in my body. So we said, hey, we're gonna go for sushi at 5 o'clock on Wednesday. Anybody wanna go? And then on Friday, the day before the race, cause I had some anxiety, you know, am I really gonna see people that day? What's that gonna be like? And I thought, you know what would be awesome is if we could do a prayer blessing. To have an opportunity for me to thank everybody, for me to ask a blessing upon everybody, and for me to specifically ask them to lay their hands on me and hold me in prayer and meditation. So we threw those two things out there. They both were super fun. Wednesday turned, I didn't think everyone was going to be able to make it. And lo and behold, there were like 18 or 19 of us at dinner on this huge long table. We took over the place, and I have brothers with booming voices.
Were people wearing their shirts, wearing their booty shirts before the race?
Occasionally someone here, okay. Someone there, but it wasn't like everyone put your shirt on before dinner or anything like that. So, but that was, it was so much fun. And kind of a funny aside to that is, I was like, I hope that, because we were loud. and I was like, I hope that we didn't upset anybody or whatever. And when Linda and I went back to eat there one more time, a week later, just the two of us, our server was like, you were here last week, right? With a big group. And she had this huge smile on her face. And I was like, oh, I think my brothers tipped her well.
They probably had fun.
Yeah, it was so fun.
How could you not absorb that awesome energy from them, right?
It was super.
Yeah.
It was super. So that was great. And then to have that really special prayer time on Friday. I followed my same routine there. It was just like, in some ways, well, it was just amazing to follow my morning routine in Kona. Because
meaning
the coffee, journaling, the meditation,
because
I'm sitting on the lanai,
right?
Okay, looking out at the ocean,
hearing the birds. And
oh
the
my gosh, it's totally dark, you know, because I'm waking up early, and maybe the sky is clear and I can see tons of stars. Maybe like it was the first week we arrived at the full moon and got to watch the full moon set because we're facing west. The first morning that we woke up.
Beautiful.
I mean, and so so I had some wonderful prayer time and stuff. And so on the morning that I thought, oh, I would love to gather everyone for a prayer, I had actually written a prayer inspired by my mom and my mom's love and our the last experience she and I had together before she died. And
I saw a poster with the big eyes.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yes. And so the prayer, although I didn't name it, my family named it for me because I read it to, I wanted, so I had a surprise. My brother Mike ended up coming and didn't tell anybody. And it's a really funny story. He was awesome. But he came on Monday and stayed until Thursday. He wasn't able to stay through the race. But he came and was a part of everything for those days, which was just so wonderful. So I had written this prayer and wanted to share it with him since he wasn't going to be here on Friday for the prayer service. So I read it to him and Leah and Sarah and some other family members. And so they had named it Those Eyes because that's in the first line.
Nice.
And so thus, those posters you saw were Mom's eyes.
Yes.
You know, Mom's watching you, Rudy.
you talked about that and her eyes and your last experience with her in one of your previous podcasts. It's a really moving story. If you haven't listened to that podcast, go back. Mm. It's the one just before this, actually, we discussed it. One of the questions that came in from one of our listeners, Jenny, asked, did you feel your mom while you were there? Because that was a big, big piece for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I definitely felt her, especially, I have to say, my brother Mike, his eyes are her eyes. My siblings, some of them say, oh, you have her eyes, but Mike really has her eyes. Like, he can make his eyes pop out like Mom would when she was mad at you and stuff. Or when she's loving on you right before she dies. I mean, it was beautiful. So with him there too, it was like, gosh, like, you know, my brothers, Matt and Dan, were like, you made this happen. Like, you brought us all together. You're the reason we're all together. And that is like super special for him to say that and to feel that way. But I was like, actually, it's you guys. It's because you got so excited at Madison last year and said, I'm coming back. And why did you come to Madison? Well, I think you came because you were representing Mom, right? And so Mom's hand was in all of this. I mean, for us to spend this time, for our nieces and nephews, and I mean, all of this, it's Mom. So yeah, Mom was all over it.
Mm-hmm.
All over it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you got to feel that. No, that was important.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other questions that came in from one of our listeners was, were there any specific mental skills that you're aware of that you used purposely, consciously, that you could share with us?
Sure. So prior to the race, the day before, I started writing down the process. Like, what am I going to do when I exit the water? Like, what is my process? I'm going to take my cap and goggles off. I'm going to pull my skin suit down to my waist. I'm going to carefully run up the steps. I'm going to go to the shower, and I'm going to sit under that shower and let the salt water and the sand come out, and I'm going to stop for a second and take it in. I'm going to take some water in and spit it out so the salt water's out of my mouth. So I went through this whole process of what I was going to do and how I was going to approach the transitions. It was mostly the transitions. And I went over that probably 10 times. In my head, I said it out loud to Linda. I said it out loud to my mother and father-in-law. I just kept repeating what I was going to do. And I must say that made a huge difference. I mean, down to when I'm going to use the bathroom, and all of that. And so it just felt easy in the sense, just the transitions. Like, transitions can be crazy. You can be like, oh shoot, where's this? Where's that? Where are my shoes? Oh, right, they're right here. Where's my helmet? Oh, it's on my bike. Like, and so to have gone over that a number of times, I wasn't thinking about those things. I could, you know, stress about other things.
Nice, because you free up that space.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that mental skill was excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another question from Jenny, one of your listeners. She asked, what was the hardest part?
So, I would say the hardest part was when I was on the run, on the way back from the Energy Lab, and I was, all right, I have to digress. I have to, because this is really funny.
Okay.
My brother, I think it was my brother's. You know, you talk about the race, you talk about the different landmarks and things. So they're hearing about it all week, and they're like, oh, right. Well, what about when you get to the comfort zone? Like, the comfort zone? What the heck are you talking about, the comfort zone? Oh, the part out on the Queen K, you know, where you turn in and no one's allowed to drive there or ride their bike or something? I was like, the Energy Lab. That is not the comfort zone.
Is there a comfort zone anywhere involved in that? Right, man, I'm not so certain.
So anyway, it was so freaking hilarious, the comfort zone.
It's kind of like donkey crossings.
Yeah, kind of. Yep. So I'm coming back from the comfort zone, and I basically am suffering. I don't want to continue. I'm going to continue. I know I'm going to, or I guess I can say that now. I don't think. I thought, let's just throw in the towel. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I ever thought that. But I definitely thought, well, why don't I just walk? Because normally, and I wonder if you've experienced this during your Ironman, but normally, if it's during the marathon, I find that whether I walk or run, it hurts the same.
It's true.
So just run, okay?
Get done sooner.
This was not the case. It was so nice to walk. It felt so good to walk that it was really hard to run. Mm. Like, it was so I was like, I could just walk. Mm. I have plenty of time, you know? And I was like, no, you can't. So
why
anyway.
Not? Why couldn't you? Like, what was the voice in your head that was saying why you couldn't?
Because I committed to myself that I'm running.
That what?
I
that you're gonna run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Albeit really slow, I'm gonna do it. But the hardest part was I started having these questions that I couldn't answer, which is, why are you doing this? I have no idea. I don't know. You don't know, I mean, I couldn't even say, 'cause I'm at the world championship. Nope.
Why do you think you couldn't answer that question? You've asked that question before in other races. What was different this time?
Well, in my reflection, which is why I think had we done this the day after, there'd be a lot we
would
miss.
It'd be very different, sure.
A lot we would miss. I realize in my reflection that I had expectations of myself that I wasn't meeting. And I, you know, in reflection, I think they're unrealistic expectations. But I still had them out there, okay? So I will tell you, I believe that I have the potential to be top 10. I believe that I have the potential. I was 70th out of 89. It's 2 hours off of top 10. And so I was like, it was very humbling to be in that space. It was very humbling to ride the ride I rode, really believing I could have had come in much sooner than I did. And so it's like I had expectations that I was going to be, I was going to place better than I did. Not top 10 this time, but still better than what I did. And so, and thank goodness for a very supportive, loving, and somewhat objective partner. She's like, hello, you didn't train to do anything other than what you did.
Right.
Okay. Remember your injury? You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, right. Right. And so I think that's why I couldn't answer it, because I wasn't in touch with the fact that, that I, at that moment, I had that expectation, or that I was, unhappy with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, the only thing I could go back to was, well, my goal was to qualify. That was it. It wasn't to do, right. You know, people have lovingly and said, you've achieved your goal. And I was like, well, actually I achieved it when I qualified, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really, and this is something I'm still, I will work with, right? Is, of course, like, right? Your goal was to complete the Ironman World Championship, wasn't it? You know? Like, I'm still playing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And quite possibly because it was so, it took so much to qualify, that after qualifying last year, in September, October, November, I was like, what are my goals? Like, I really didn't know. I mean, I wanted to do well at this race, but once the injuries came and I had to start letting go of that, but still I wanted to, but it wasn't like I had, I mean, setting a goal to qualify was huge. I mean, that was like, that was lifetime. That was like, I don't know when, what that's going to take. So, and achieving that was tremendous. Going there is a wonderful gift, and I can talk for hours about how amazing it was to be a part of that whole, I mean, it was incredible. But that, my goal was to qualify. I mean, it really was. So it was kind of like, I felt like I had to make up a goal a year ago. After, what's my next goal? And it's like, well, I guess to do the race, you know?
Right.
So, you know, there's still some mumble jumble in there for me about it. But, so I do want to go back to the hardest part of the race. Like, I couldn't answer the question, why am I out here? I just was like, I couldn't answer it. And that was uncomfortable. And so my response to that was, go back to your box. Come back to your box. And that was my
mantra. And the box
mantra.
is
to the present, to your body, to this moment right now.
Yeah.
Well, why do you have to answer any of those questions? Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is be in this present moment. And that happened throughout the race. You know, there are other times previous to this on the run where I really did it specifically because I needed I felt my need for it because of the distraction was getting too much.
During the run specifically?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
And I felt it at times on the bike, especially when my feet got really hot, like super hot. Also learned that happened with the pros too. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, this is, you know, it's okay. But so I kept coming back to the box. So I would say I would make it like the box of love, the box of strength. And my reflection on that, this is the part that I'm so like, the nugget I want to continue to transform me is coming back to the present was freeing. That's where freedom came. Being in this, what is my goal, or why am I out here, or what place am I in? Oh my gosh, here goes another older person past me. I knew who was older and who was younger by the number. You just know. And I was like, well, there goes another one. There go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a hard time with that. But all of those thoughts, they're just thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came back to the fleeting present, I was free. I was free. And that's the nugget. That's exactly like, it's like our thoughts, my thoughts were imprisoning me.
Interesting.
They were causing suffering.
And that's one of the things we talk about in mindfulness,
right?
It's coming back to the present. And it's only in the present moment that you have the ability to do anything. It's the only thing you really truly have control over.
Right.
So being able to recognize when you're in that place of comparison or judgment, whether it's in the future or in the past, that imprisons you.
Right, right. The recognition comes after, though.
Yeah.
Because during, it wasn't like, oh, I need to be free from this.
No.
It was just like, come back to the present.
Right.
And now in reflection, it's like, oh, that was the free space.
But I love so much that you're able to talk about this, because oftentimes we can talk about mindfulness in day-to-day living, but we don't always implement it into sport.
Uh-huh.
And for you to be able to share this reflection and how you've been able to use it in sport is really empowering for all of those other athletes out there who may look at mindfulness as being sort of fuzzy, wuzzy, you know, warm, velvety stuff for everybody else. But you're proving that it worked in the hardest of times.
That's why I crossed the finish line, running. So, some funny things.
Yeah.
This is really good. I want to share two if I can remember them. One is about 10 miles out, as I was like, oh, it feels so much easier to walk than it does to run. I said to myself.
Self?
Right. You going to run across the finish line? Well, hell yes, I'm going to run across the finish line. Well, then let's practice that now. So for
That's
10
great.
Miles, I got to practice crossing the finish line.
Oh, look at the finish line. Woo! That's great.
It was awesome.
That was great.
It was, I needed it. It was great.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a help. Another, and this is just so fun. Okay, so when we were flying out to Hawaii, we had a layover in Seattle. And in Seattle, we met someone who was going to be on our flight, who spends half the year in Alaska and half the year in Hawaii. And so we got chatting, ended up with a lot of great things to talk about, okay? And really connected with him. His name is Chris. Great. He's like, listen, I volunteer on race day, so we'll see you out there and stuff. So here I am on the run, heading out to the comfort zone, and it's still light out
and more of the energy that okay.
and I was like, hey Chris, and he's like, hey Rudy, way to go, you know, and stuff, and so that was cool. And and then on the way back from the energy lab, it's pitch black, okay, and you're like, you hope people can see you. They give you
it's one large marathon loop. It's not the multiple loops.
Okay, so the way the run goes, okay,
yeah, the run.
You have an out and back on a Lee Drive in the beginning.
Okay.
And then you have an out and back to the energy lab.
Got it.
Okay.
So it's basically two out and backs.
Two out and backs.
Okay.
You got it. Okay. So I'm coming back from the energy lab. It's pitch black. Okay. It's around mile 22. Okay. And I finished 1800 and something out of 2300.
In the right
room. Yeah, overall right, okay, so there might be 400 or 500 people behind me, maybe, right? It's pretty sparse, right? So I'm like running along, or trotting, as someone else said, and I'm like moving, and I hear on the side of the road people cheering, like, way to go, way to go. It's like completely dark. You can't see anything. And you're like, okay. And so I was like, thanks, you know? And I hear, Rudy, is that you?
Ah, out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
Right,
it was
dark.
Chris, out of the dark. Out of the dark.
Was he still working? He was just out there cheering.
He was just out there cheering in his flip-flops, you know? He's totally, you know, probably hasn't been running in a few years, you know? And he jogs with me. Right?
Nice.
Yep, we have wonderful. It was so wonderful, right? And so I end up getting, you know, close to the finish, and there's Linda, and I'm like, Linda, I saw Chris. And she's like, yeah, he texted me. He said you looked great and that you guys trotted together. I was like, yeah, he's in his flip-flops and he's not having any trouble keeping up with me.
That's so great. And it's amazing what little things can do to raise your energy.
Bless you.
Spectators don't mm-hmm. even realize. Mm-hmm. Like they're like, am I really even making a difference out here? You, and even if you don't get a look back from an athlete or mm-hmm. a high five or something like that from the athlete, you have to know that
yes.
as a spectator, those little claps and those little cheers yes. really do yeah. make a difference.
Oh, there was one guy out on the run early on when it was still light out on a Lee drive. I love this man. He was so great. He called everybody a stud muffin.
Oh,
way to go, you stud muffin. I so want to use that when I cheer, so you know, yeah. because everyone feels I didn't care that he said it to everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was just so I saw him like 3 or 4 times. And the last time he was like, all right, stud muffin, I'm going to see you at the finish line, right? You're still going to be smiling, right? And I said, I promise.
You know who I could totally see saying that is Hubie. Hubie, oh, yeah. Here's a little shout out to you. I could totally see you out on the course cheering people on, calling them all stud muffins.
That's awesome.
That's great. One of the other questions that came in from our listeners is, of the race, was there a favorite part?
Yes.
And what was it?
The swim.
Wow.
And being on the pier. So if there was like anything that was if something can be nostalgic, I don't know, that you haven't experienced before, that was it. Okay. Because watching the Ironman for the past few years and seeing everything and the energy on the pier and then like bringing my bike there to drop it off the day before, I was like, I'm on the pier.
Like and the pier.
Yeah, and we got to watch it transform, right? Because we arrived before they did anything. And so I was like, how are they going to make those steps the steps, you know, from the swim? Because those steps that you see are not the steps. They built that, okay? The steps are these little, small, concrete steps. And you're like, we're not running up those at the end of the swim, you know? And so anyway, being, like, on the pier. So the swim, so beautiful. The week before, I did the swim. I had that swim, and I think we did our podcast after the
yes.
training swim.
Yes.
Right? So I had like major chafing
yes.
from that. So we did our due diligence and learned a lot about it and learned how to put the speed suit on correctly and also learned about Vaseline. So totally, you know, covered myself. And so I had zero chafing.
Right.
So the swim was comfortable. And I felt,
note to self,
yeah,
practice in clothing that you're going to wear on the race day.
Yeah,
right?
Well, it's not, which I've practiced in this before,
but in the
for an hour and a half,
right?
You know, or you know, like long, and insult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so, so that was great. And during the swim, here's another mantra that came to mind. The week before, I felt a little sick. I had a cold anyway, but felt a little sick from the salt and this and that. So during the race, I was like, you love salt water. Salt water is good for you. It's fine. Your stomach is fine. And so I just kept saying that to myself. I had no chafing. I mean, I felt great. And it's really fun to look at the data afterwards. It was so smooth. My swim was like from start to finish, very, very consistent, which was fun. I got on feet. On the second half, I got on really fast feet and we weaved in and out of people. And that was super fun. Before the swim, I'm approaching the steps of the pier. And lo and behold, my buddy Andrew Messick is standing there. And we do a high five and he wishes me luck. And I said, we are on the steps of the pier of the Ironman World Championships. So that was that was my favorite part. Because it also wasn't painful.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of pain.
Yeah, exactly. And it's different water than you're used to. You know, you're used to dark murky lakes and being able to see
so
through that beautiful aqua green blue.
It was amazing. It was easy to sight. Everything just felt awesome.
Sun glare was okay.
Oh yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. You talked already about some of the mantras that you used. Were there any others that were helpful for you?
Those are the ones, I think, just about the salt water and staying in my box. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember mostly, yeah.
In retrospect, some of the listeners have been wondering about, were there any mistakes that you feel you made in training mm-hmm. leading up to the race? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can only see those mm-hmm. after we got through the race, and mm-hmm. then we go, oh, yeah, I can understand why I performed that way in the race because ABC.
Uh-huh. I think especially reminding myself of the injuries, and like I really did all that I could have done for this race. That in that way, I feel good about that. I think a mistake is and you learn from the experience, though, is not taking a step back a lot sooner.
Wishing you had taken a step back sooner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. In terms of letting my body heal and that kind of thing. Just mm-hmm. not realizing that at that point would have been a lot smarter mm-hmm. Than continuing to push. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think there's another one on your docket?
Another what?
Another Ironman.
Yes.
Is there another interesting qualifying for Kona?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because as a reminder, for those of you who aren't all that familiar with Ironman, Kona is the world championship. So mm-hmm. you don't just go and do Kona. No. And you know, I understand how people might not completely grasp that. Because mm-hmm. oftentimes they'll say, are you ever going to do Kona? Like, well... that's not completely, it's kind of a choice, of course, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but to get there is mm-hmm. like you said, just qualifying for it is mm-hmm. such a big deal and an mm-hmm. accomplishment. So you do have the interest in being able to do another race.
Heck,
which would
yes.
qualify for you to be able to go and do Kona.
Yes.
Would you ever be interested in doing Kona as a lottery? Because again, for those of you who don't know, you can enter a lottery, you pay money to enter a lottery, and then they just pull you out of a hat, quote unquote.
They don't do that anymore.
They don't do it anymore.
They do not do that anymore.
Okay.
What they do is, it's called the Legacy Program. Hmm. Okay? So, for those who don't qualify, don't get in through qualification, you can get in through a Legacy Program. And that means 12 consecutive Ironman finishes.
Right.
And then you can enter this Legacy Program. And you're guaranteed a spot, but it might not be... after your 12th, it might be
right.
after your 14th, but you have to keep doing
that.
Well,
it's interesting
stay.
You say that, because I'm familiar with a story of a woman who got in via lottery in the last year. She had never even done an Ironman before, and she got in via lottery.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll have to kind of check that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as far as my understanding goes, because I have been to Kona, there is no, I could never get in through a Legacy Program or anything like that.
Like they wouldn't allow that one?
So I know two people now who got in through the Legacy Program this past year. They won't be able to go to Kona again unless they qualify.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an opportunity to give people a chance who've never been.
Mm-hmm.
So.
If you were able to... encapsulate your experience of each component into a word or a phrase, what would they be? So the swim would be...
beautiful.
The bike would be...
hard.
The run would be...
perseverance.
And the finish.
Joyful.
What was it like to be there? You made reference a little bit to, mm-hmm. you know, previous to the race and just mm-hmm. being there with all these other athletes. And...
It's just, it's really, really special. And especially even like after, when I was dealing with like the the feelings I had around my own expectations and placing and things like that. And really constantly being affirmed, like, you finished a really tough race.
Yeah.
And that you, like there was this collective understanding and sharing of, like, we did this, you know, and it wasn't easy, and who cares about your time or your place? You did it.
Yeah.
So that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
That was really special. And also, it just makes me think of on the run or on even on the bike. So you're climbing on the bike, you're climbing up to the turnaround at Javi, and it's tough and the wind is against you going up, and you're like, oh my God, where is it? How many more miles left? You know? And so you make the turnaround and you've got this amazing tailwind and you're flying. But then you get to see the other people that are still climbing up. And so all I could do was keep praying for them and cheering them on. And it was the same on the run, especially as I was getting closer to the finish and people were still coming out, and to that they still had to make it to the comfort zone, right? I mean, they were probably 14 miles from the finish, and I'm like, I don't know if they're gonna make it. And
it's a long day.
Yeah, and some are walking. I'm like, oh my God, if they don't start running, they're not gonna make it.
Did the pavement still feel really hot at that point? You said it was dark by now, but
I can't describe. I don't remember anything about the pavement. In terms of like heat on my feet, it was the bike, but they were just on fire. Which was a really challenging experience.
So the pros were even talking about this race, not just Hawaii being organically challenging and difficult, but this particular race, 2017. What do you want to say about that?
Yeah. Well, it's what makes me feel reassured. Is like to hear them talk about it, to hear them say how hard it was and be like, yeah, that's how I felt too.
Yeah.
I mean, when I finished that race and towards the end too, I was like, seven's enough. You know, you asked me, do you want to do another Ironman or whatever? I'm like, heck yeah, I do. And do I want to be top 10. You didn't ask me that, but I want to tell you, I want to be top 10.
You all heard that.
You did. But during, I was like, I'm done. Seven is enough.
You know, I think that's almost inevitable when you're doing it and you're doing it as hard as you can do it. Don't you? I do. I mean, yeah. I think if anyone gets to the end and they're like, oh yeah, I can't wait to do this again, or yeah, I'm definitely doing this again. Possibly there's a little more left in the tank than there should be.
Yeah.
And that's a judgment. So
it may be. And I've certainly experienced that before where I was like, yeah, I could do this again. Like right after the race. But this one, I was like, this was great. I don't need another one. Yeah. It was great. I mean, everyone came. How wonderful. This is great. Who needs to come again?
Right.
Very
common stories.
From
you're like, I'm never doing this again, never doing this again, never doing this again.
But
and
the next day.
The next night, and they sign up the next day.
Right. By the way, I haven't signed up for any.
Okay.
Which is very freeing and very new for me.
Yeah.
Very new.
Brings you back to the moment.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
As we're starting to wrap up today's interview, is there anything else that I haven't had the opportunity to ask you about yet that you would really like to share with us about your experience?
Well, one thing that came to mind, and this still goes back to the theme of so hard, there were many para triathletes, and their ability to compete in this race and to finish this race was so inspiring. And to see those, like, there was a blind athlete who I actually had the great fortune of meeting, like, a few days later at Kona Brewing Company. And she had a guide. And I remember seeing them on the bike ride and cheering them on.
She's the first blind woman to finish?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But I'd always thought that I would want to guide somebody, or I never thought of a blind athlete. I thought about pushing someone, mm-hmm. you know, who couldn't do it at all or whatever. During this race, I thought, I don't know how anybody yeah. could do that. I mean, I was like, holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was another one of those. Yeah. I mean, I could barely get myself across the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just really inspiring and like pretty, pretty powerful.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
This series has been called Rudy's Road to Kona.
Mm-hmm.
Kona has come and gone.
Yep.
Congratulations. Bye, Kona. So much.
Yeah, but Kona's right here.
Oh, yeah.
And Kona's right here.
She's pointing to her wrist. She got her tattoo, her Iron
yep.
Man tattoo, which is
it was
a bit of a, you know, back and forth. Not
yep.
really sure if he wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also hear that in her previous podcast. But you decided to do
mm-hmm.
it after all.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So we went to a tattoo parlor. Linda was looking
in Hawaii.
Linda was looking into some things, and I was like, well, I'll just go with you. And I had no intentions that day. It was the week before the race. So she had conversations with this one artist, and someone came in and talked to another tattoo artist, and the woman who came in had just gotten a tattoo, and she was with Team Hoyt. And so if you know anything about Team Hoyt, it's Rick and Dick Hoyt. So Dick Hoyt is dad, Rick Hoyt is son, and they have done Hawaii like 5 times. Well, dad isn't doing it anymore, but I think Rick's cousin or uncle, someone was doing it with Rick.
Hmm.
That weekend. And so anyway, she had gotten a tattoo, and I was watching her interact with the tattoo artist, and I loved the way they interacted. I felt really comfortable with this person, and I thought, all right, maybe I'll talk to him about a tattoo. So he was free. I said, hey, listen, can I just... And so we talked. I told him what I was interested in. He showed me something that he had preliminarily drawn up. And I was like, yeah, but I'd rather the turtle in there and this and that. And he's like, oh, we can do that and blah, blah, blah. It's great. All right. So we made appointments for Friday, and we went in, and actually he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think our messages got crossed. And
they're on island time.
Well, and he was off that day.
Uh-huh.
And so I was totally, like, empty. I was like, and this was the day before we left. I was like, oh, well, I'm just not going to get it. Someone else was working and said, oh, I can do it. And I just did not feel comfortable
mm-hmm.
at all. And so I was like, thanks, I'm fine, you know. But Linda was getting one, and so the tattoo artist was really, hers was like, hey, just come sit with us. And I was like, okay, so I did. And we had great conversation, and it was just really special. And so I said, well, what do you think about blah, blah? And she's like, I can draw something up. We can talk about it after. I said, okay. And so she did, and I said, okay, let's do it. So.
I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think that might be the picture for the podcast.
I think that'd
today.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's really great.
Yep.
So it's the M dot, and it's mostly blue, and she has the turtle in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And in the dot is the big island is drawn.
Yeah.
In the dot.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So Rudy's Road to Kona. Kona, as I mentioned, has come and gone, and what a beautiful journey it's been. What if you were to have another series?
Right.
What would it be? Rudy's Road 2?
Right. Rudy's Road.
Rudy's Road.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, who knows where we're going yet.
That was a question that came in from Kim, one of your listeners. And I love it. It was really a great one. So it's a great way to pull this series to a close. So perhaps there's going to be a new series called Rudy's Road.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. It's a great gift to be able to share your story, you know, and to be heard. Yeah.
Well, it has been a really great gift for us to also be a part of, and the listeners have really enjoyed, you know, being kind of being on this inside bench, observing and watching, and I know that so many of us have learned a ton from you, everything from how to approach Ironman endurance sport to be more mindful, to be more connected spiritually, to ways to connect with those who have passed before us. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. Thank you, and thanks for the opportunity to process, because it's a great gift to me.
Thank you, listeners, for being here. I don't know how I could have forgotten to ask this. Do you have a song?
That's really funny. The song that I would share is called Her Mercy by Glenn Hansard.
What is it about?
So my brother Mike shared it with me, and I thought, wow. I read the words and I thought, oh, this is wonderful. And it is through the eyes of my mom and through the eyes of the Big Island. He does say, if you are, or when you are worthy of her mercy. And I kind of changed that to, we all are worthy of her mercy. Yeah, it is there.
Nice. So the challenge I will send out to all of you today, as you know, I like to finish this podcast with the challenge, is to take a moment and ask yourself, what does that mean to you? What does mercy mean to you? And how are you seeing that unfold in your own life? So thank you again for being here and listening. If you are listening to this from iTunes, I want to issue a challenge to you and go on down to the bottom and put in a review, because what happens is, until I get a certain number of reviews, nobody really recognizes the podcast series as worthy of being listened to. When I say nobody, I don't mean individuals, but I mean other people who might potentially want to sponsor this. And it would be really great to get sponsored, because then more and more people hear the message, which would be really exciting. So if you have just 2 minutes, you can go on down and put in a review. I would be forever thankful and grateful to you for that. Otherwise, if you're listening on my website, you can go ahead and put your name into the little box up at the top that says that we will keep you informed whenever there's a new podcast that's coming out. So thank you once again. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful day. This is Jill with Jill M. Summers Performance Coaching. So grateful for you, and I'll see you on the next.
When you're kneeling through the hours, when you're doubting your given powers, and when you're ready for her mercy, and you're worthy, it will come. When you're sneaking round the back door, and she's waiting for you no more. And when you're ready for her mercy, and you're worthy, it will come. When the birds are just tuning up still, and the dawn breaks on your windowsill. And when you're ready for her mercy, and you're worthy, it will come, it will come. When you're broken, when your heart is finally open, when you're down, down in trouble, when you're lost among the rubble, well, there's sugar on the old spoon. Let's do that two-step around your front room. And when you're ready for her mercy, and you're worthy, it will come. Mercy, mercy, come into you. Feel her beauty flowing through you. She will unbind you, set the world free. Mercy, mercy.
Thanks for being with us today. We invite you to join us on our mission to move people forward and upward. Go to jillmsommers.com, that's jillmsommers.com, for more information and to listen to other inspiring podcasts. And remember to do one thing today that moves your life forward, which impacts others around you to do the same.